TC, if you're ready to rock the house, I mean, you make some noise. Hey, come on, tell the person that God is up to something. Come on, tell him.
Welcome to On One Accord with Carmen, and I am your host, Carmen M. Thomas. So great to have you with me this morning, and we're just giving God all the praise and all the honor that we can muster because we know that God is up to something good. God is good, and He doesn't really have to be up to something good because God is good at all times, and He's constantly pouring that goodness of His goodness into us, if we would just receive it, recognize it, and appreciate it. Some of us may be going through a lot of challenges in our life, a lot of turmoil may be going on, but if we can just look for the good, to know that God has our highest good always in mind. But if you have any kind of apprehension about that this morning, dear hearts, I would like for you to join me on one accord and take it to the Lord in prayer, knowing that prayer changes things, that these are not merely words, that the words are filled with spirit and they are filled with life. Because out of the very words we speak, they are filled with life and death. The word tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and from our heart come forth the abundance that we speak from the heart. From the heart out comes what's in our heart. So if we have doubt in our heart about God, that's exactly the words that we're going to speak. So this morning, get the cobwebs out. Leave them aside. Dust off your fears and all of that, and just leave it to the side for right now. Just concentrate on the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, this morning I come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving you thanks for your amazing grace. It is so wonderful because that's something that we don't have to even work for. We know that we don't even deserve it, but it's ours. But you are so loving and so freely giving that we just thank you this morning. We thank you for holding us and our loved ones near and dear to us, those that's near and those that's afar, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank you for keeping us, protecting us from all harm and unforeseen danger. And we thank you, O God, with grateful hearts that you keep that hedge, constantly keeping that hedge around us, protecting us from the forces of evil. O God, we thank you this morning for providing shelter, food and clothing and all the other added amenities to make life more comfortable. God, we thank you. And we ask you with remorseful hearts, as we come and repent, asking you to forgive us for every word, thought, and deed that we have engaged in towards you, ourselves, and each other. Asking you to cleanse us, O God, purge us, for all that we say and do will be for your glory. O Heavenly Father, we ask you to pull, draw, whatever it takes for Holy Spirit to pull our loved ones that's out there walking in spiritual darkness, our loved ones, family and friends, those of us that are doing things that's displeasing to you. We ask that you purge us, forgive us, and we pray for Holy Spirit to draw them, anything it takes to save them, that we are putting all of them at the foot of your altar this morning, O Heavenly Father. For us that believe in you and love you, our responsibilities are to intervene for our lost sisters and brothers. And this morning, I ask Holy Spirit, touch in a mighty way, a special way this morning, for things that we have tried to say and do to make a difference in our loved one's life, we know that it's just right for you. So we turn them over to you this morning. We release them to you, O God. And we pray that every man, woman, and child be touched by your glory. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel, and that that peace touch all nations. But we humbly submit ourselves to you to allow that peace to begin with each and every one of us individually. This we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear hearts, I pray that you all that believe in the Lord and have love and compassion for your sisters and brothers prayed that prayer along with me. Touch and agree with me in faith. Because the word tells us when there are two or more touching and agreeing, and that doesn't really mean touching each other's hand or holding each other's hand, but touching and agreeing in spirit. Spirit has no distance. Whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, it doesn't matter. If we touch and agree in spirit, God shall be in the midst of it. So we just thank God. Just come in just giving thanks this morning with a heart filled with gratitude. I'm the author of a little book titled, As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He. I'm also a licensed Christian counselor and speaker. My little book speaks on the abundance of our heart that we speak forth, whatever is in our heart. And we have to keep our heart like a watchman at the gate. The things that we concentrate on, the things that we take and have a deep-seated conviction that these things are true, we see the results of it. So we have to really understand our divinity. How special we are, how unique God created us to be. We can point the finger at someone else and say they are the reason for this or that happening in our life, but what are we truly speaking about ourselves? I was on the phone with a lady just a few days ago, and she and I was both having problems out of our computer. It jumped off the internet, and even though both of us are not whizzes on the computer, from my grandson, before he went off to college, he gave me a few pointers as some troubleshooting to do on my own in case some things went out, and I was able to get mine back, check my router and all of that, but I mean, she was trying and she couldn't get hers up. And the first thing came out of her mouth was, I'm so stupid. Oh, we have to watch our words. And if someone else had called her that, she would have been highly offended. But we have to look at the words that we are using towards ourselves. And that's why that is my daily prayer for us, is to ask forgiveness for the words that we speak even against ourselves. We may not speak them towards anyone else, but just look how detrimental we are on ourselves, that we can just throw daggers at our own self. And then when someone else does it, we'll get so out of pocket about it. But we have to begin to give ourselves a transfusion of love. So many of us are so hard upon our, we're so hard on ourselves. We have no confidence in our own self. You're afraid to take chances for yourself. You're afraid to look at yourself in the mirror and call yourself beautiful, smart. Those are the things that you say, well, that sounds conceited. No, it's not. It's when you begin to feel that you're above others and look down on others and be demeaning, thinking that they're less than you. But we have to begin to love ourselves more. We are God-given. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So I say that when you beat up on yourself, you're beating up on your God self, because he created us all. And we need to begin to show compliments to ourselves. No one else has to hear it. But begin to speak life into situations about ourselves. Speak life into situations about our loved ones. We have loved ones, and so many of us have, that are going the opposite way of the opposite direction of what we know to be right for them, not walking in the light, and we can just get in such despair about the things that they do, that we'll just completely just say, oh, they are this and they are that. They're not going to be any good like their old dad, or they just like their old rotten uncle, or she's mean just like her aunt. Things like that, these are curses that we place upon ourselves and others. When you're not edifying someone and demeaning them, that's just like a curse. But we can pray and bless God and speak of words of love with him, and in the same breath, we can turn around and cuss ourselves or each other. So that's what Proverbs 18:21 says, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So these are pointers that I bring out in my little book about as a man thinketh in his heart. Because whatever you are thinking about yourself or others will eventually come through your lips. It will eventually come through your lips. And in St. Luke, the sixth chapter, and the 43rd, beginning at the 43rd verse, because I do like to read. And several of my programs will always be the majority of them, I say, if not all of them. I will go into the Word and read some passage of some kind as to what I'm speaking on, because I'm not here to give my philosophy about anything. What I speak on will be taken strictly from the Bible. From the 43rd verse in chapter 6 of St. Luke's, it reads, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither do a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a briar bush gathers thy grapes. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So whatever is in your heart, as I just said, it will eventually come out. And it is so sad to see that people will bring their children up speaking curses over them before they can even have a chance to get out there in the world good. they will already condemn them before they get started. You're not going to be any good. And then they will throw someone else out there to compare them, like their father or grandfather, or their uncle or their aunt, just putting labels on them. And then they'll turn around and wonder why that child didn't exhale. But look at the curses that you put on the child before they got started good. So as I say, we have to become a watchman at the gate of our thoughts and the words that we speak. A book that I read years ago, The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Shover Sheen. Anyone that does not know the power of their words are behind in time. You can't merely go around just saying anything and doesn't expect to see the fruits of it. Just said that we will see the fruits of what we speak. And then it works the same way of the good things that we speak. How many people don't even know how to take a compliment? They have been so used to people beating up on them with words and insulting them, and insults are just like come off just as smooth as butter to them because this is what they've been so used to. So when you begin to compliment them, they don't even know how to receive it. It may make you even feel a little guilty sometimes for even speaking nice things to them, because they'll cut you off or make you feel like you've done something wrong by saying something nice to them. That's a person that has been brutally attacked to the point that they it's almost to a point of no return until you can try to get them to see it in a different light. It compliments are gifts. They are actually gifts. And so many of us are bad receivers. We may know how to give a gift, but so many of us doesn't know how to receive one. And when you can go and edify and uplift someone, that is a gift that you're giving them. Question is, can you receive it? So let's begin to feed ourselves with more good treasures from our heart. Let them come out in our words and our conversation. You know, there are some people that when you talk to them, you may call them. I know I have, associate that way. I may call and, oh, my God, how you doing? Why did I ask that? Because, my God, they will start complaining about how bad they feel, how bad they felt last week, and how sick they were last week. Oh, I was sick as a dog last week. You know, I said, but didn't God bring you through? This is a new day today. You're talking about something that happened 2 weeks ago, last month. You want to still just elaborate on what you went through then. You still want to hang on to it. So this is what I'm saying, is that out of the abundance of your heart, you will speak. If you are always complaining about things that's going wrong in your life, how sick you are, how bad you are hurting, that will magnify and you will have more and more to complain about. And I tell you, you're talking about something that will zap your energy. Talk to a chronic complainer. When you finish talking to them, it feels as though you have been drained. And actually you have. They are draining their energy from you. Because all they want, they are downers. All they want is an ear to hear, just to listen to them. They listen to they woes and they moans. And believe me, each time you speak to them, it'll never get better, because that is what they are That's what their attention is focused on. How bad they feel. How rough they had it a week ago. Oh, what a turmoil they went through a month ago. And you're talking about some 30 days ago that God has brought you through, but you're still complaining that you went through it. You're not giving him the honor and the praise of thanking him for bringing you through it. You're still talking about what you went through. So let's change our conversation, because all we got to do is go back and go into that Old Testament and read the five books of Moses. God hates a complainer. When those children of Israel got to complaining about what they didn't have, and even though they had been taken out of bondage, they still wanted to look back and go back, because they had no vision before them. But the word say, where there's no vision, the people perish. So they had no vision. They had no trust in the Lord, even though he had showed them miracles after miracles. Each time he brought them up out of one, showed them a miracle, they soon forgot and went right back to their normal habit of complaining. And the word tells us God hates a complainer. So when these people constantly complain, believe me, they will constantly have something to complain about. So let's change our focus on our attention of what we're doing. Let's change it. Let's begin to take a look at ourselves as to what type of undesirables we have brought into our life by complaining. And when we begin to make a change in our conversation, a change will begin to show so much and manifest for us. We'll see changes all around in all our affairs. But to constantly complain, we will not go. We're just like a stick stuck in the mud. I'm going to take a short break, and I'll be right back, dear hearts. Please don't go anywhere. I shall return in a minute or two. Welcome back to On One Accord with Carmen. I am your host, Carmen M. Thomas. Great to have you with me today. And we're speaking of the goodness of the Lord and the goodness that we need to exercise with the words that we speak, letting good things begin to proceed out of our mouths instead of beating up on ourselves, beating up on others with words, saying things that we regret later because we allowed our emotions to get out of tack, and coming out with destructive words, words that can crutch us, words that can crutch our children by not being that watchman, as I say, being that watchman at the gate of your thoughts, and from your thoughts proceed out your mouth the words. So this morning, as I continue on, that we mentioned that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And all of this is kind of corroborate with my book that I've written, As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He, taken from Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse, that whatever you're thinking, whether it's upright, unrighteous, we will see the fruits of those thoughts, because anything that's felt true within us, heartfelt, and you have a strong conviction of it, you will begin to see it materialize in our world, and that can be turned around just as well as we have seen the chaos that can be turned around also. to see the good fruits. And as I was speaking before we went on break, that people cannot even accept compliments because they have been so used to others beating up on them with words, and they beat themselves up, that when you give someone, tell someone that they look nice or something that will uplift them, so many of our people doesn't know how to take it. And even with children, it's so important that our children are not raised in an environment where they are constantly being demeaned. Because there are so many parents that does demean their children. They were brought up in households, and I know that I'm a witness to that, and I bring these points out in my book, that you could be spoke illly towards so long that you yourself began to believe it, because this is, if you begin to hear these things at home from your parents, then you believe it to be true that if you're ugly or you're fat or no one wants you. I remember being really heartbroken when a friend of mine was, she was messing around with my hair, trying to, you know, try out different hairstyles. And she had styled my hair a certain way. And I told her, I said, you know, I don't really like this hairstyle on me. Change it. I don't like it. And she didn't say it to be ugly or mean. I really don't believe she did it. Always joking around, having fun. But it just came out, oh, Carmen, nobody wants you anyway. Why are you worried about your hairstyle? And boy, did that hit a nerve, because I had been brought up by my mother to tell me those words over and over again. Her words was cutting like a knife, and I was brought up to hear that I was in her way. I wasn't wanted. Nobody wants you. I mean, after my grandmother died, my world was, oh, it was cold. And for her to tell me that constantly, pretty much on a daily basis, nobody wants you. Nobody want to be bothered with you. And I was a teenager, long since had not heard those words from her, because I had been away from her for a while. But it was as though it was yesterday or that day that those words cut into me like a knife. As soon as she said, she was just giggling when she said that, and I know she didn't mean it to be mean. I just know she didn't. But as soon as she said it, oh my God, I boo-hooed, I bet you, for a half an hour, because those words came back to haunt me, that I had heard over and over again as a child. I had heard those words constantly, and it was just a reminder. And when she said it, it was like, well, it must be true, because my mother said it, and my God, she's saying it. And I think that it hurt her more than it did me, I believe, because she was crying right along with me. She had no intentions of hurting my feelings like that, but she didn't realize the environment I had been brought up in. And so that's why I stressed that point this morning as to watching your words with your children, your loved ones. You don't know how sensitive they are. How far they would take that in life, the destructive things that you're saying to them. You really have no idea what it does to a child. You really, it can be devastating on an adult, let alone a child. So that's why I'm stressing this morning, is to be a little more conscientious about the things that you say. Begin to put a check on how you approach people on the things that you say to them, because you just never know what harm it would do. And again, you don't realize what good a compliment or uplifting someone would do. For Jesus said that if he be lifted up, that means lifting up the Christ within every person. It's so much going on today about the race card. You're white, I'm black, you're Hispanic, and I'm this. We need to take that off of us, sisters and brothers. The breath of life that you breathe are no different than mine. Each time we inhale and exhale, that's God's. The very breath we breathe are not our own, and it has no color on it. We breathe in, we let out, and it's all God's. So I am saying to you, edify. Keep that in mind, that if we can't uplift a person, my God, don't stomp them down. Don't grind them. Try to find something good to say, because the best are in the worst of us, and the worst are in the best of us. I never will forget my English teacher in the ninth grade. Instill that in us, and I never forgot it. That is so true, that we can point out a person's bad points, but the best is in the worst. It is in the worst of us, and the worst is in the best. So we can always find something good to say. We can always look to God and find something good all the time. We have to, if we have to really search for it, you're pretty far from him, because when you open your eyes in the morning, that's the goodness of the Lord. That's a day that we haven't seen before. It may be hot just like it were yesterday, but it's not the same day. He has given us a gift of a new day. Each day we awaken, that's a gift that he has given us. And we need to honor him and stop taking so much for granted, because we live in a nation where it's wasteful. We take so much for granted. We take each other for granted. So this morning, I really do not like to come with my own philosophy about much, because what I speak on, I like to go straight to the book, and that book is the Bible. I read a lot of other spiritual material, but my basics come from the Holy Bible. And I love the Word. I love reading the Word. I love working with the Word. I love seeing the manifestation by using the Word and trusting in the Lord and speaking and uplifting others that are down and out, needing someone to talk to and to uplift them. Those are the things that I like to do, is to try to bring a person up out of discouragement if they are discouraged, to try to help them to see that there is a brighter day, that there is a light at the end of that tunnel, that there is no slack in the kingdom. And what God has set in orbit for his children is ours because it has been paid for with a price. And we don't have to come half-stepping at all. We can come trusting God all the way, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. Whether we can look around and see the evidence of things taking place, we may have some things that we're dealing with that we may not see any way out. Or things may look so bleak and dim to us that we may not see any way of any type of victory in that matter. We all have those times to come in our lives. But that's the time that we need to trust God beyond any shadow of a doubt to know that he will work it out. We can rest in confidence and peace knowing that he will work it out. We can look to the human help, but we need to look to the hills from which cometh our help, because we cannot do what he can do. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. So we have to trust in that invisible power and that divine wisdom to handle situations, take care of situations, but begin to seek and speak the good. No good thing will he withhold from us. That's what the word said. So you may say, well, why is he withholding so-and-so? I need so-and-so now. It's not that he's withholding. It may be a hindrance with our doubt. But we have to realize that we're not working on our own timetable or calendar. We have to realize that we're working on God's timetable and calendar. He will not withhold no good thing from us, but he has his own divine timing as to what things he will bring to pass that we need in our life. Inch by inch, step by step, that it will come to pass. Things will materialize. We will see the manifestation of it if we faint not. So again, this broadcast this morning is on speaking the good. God is not only up to something good. God is good. And we need to just give him the right of way. Get self out the way. That's another one of my prayers that I pray often. It's, God, help me to get self out the way. What do I mean by that? If self is not going to be in the way, who's going to be in the way? You will get in God's way by trying to put self in the way. Hey, that's the prayer that you pray. God, help me to get self out the way and give you the right of way. That's just like a person going out to get a spouse. You want to get married, don't go out and handpick them yourself, just like I did the first time. And then, hey, my marriage didn't work. Why not? Because I handpicked them. I'm the one that went out and allowed myself to be picked by someone. I'm doing the picking and choosing. They doing the picking and choosing. We hadn't seek God for anything. We're going to make this decision ourselves. And then you look around, didn't work. Of course not. Because we didn't seek the Lord and asking him to give us a put in our life what we need. And then you can be specific. Yeah, you can put down all the attributes you want in a husband or you want in a wife, then give it to the Lord for him to manifest that for you. But don't go out there and try to pick one out yourself, because you will run into trouble. When I look back and think about my marriage with my five children's father, you should have been able to make it. I know you hate you didn't make it with that man, and you had five children by. There was no way possible I could have made it. Stayed there that long, and it was my choice because it shouldn't have happened in the first place. And my God, I shouldn't have laid up there and had five children when I know that wasn't the right man for me. God didn't give me that man. But I went and chose him. He looked good. Oh, he's handsome. He's this and he's debonair. He's this and that. Oh, I went through hell. And I know I'm not the only one that has experienced that. But you see the difference it makes when you go to the Lord and ask him to put in your life what you need. He's going to put in your life what you need. Oh, you may say, well, he's not all of that handsome, or she's not all of that pretty. It is what you need in your life when you trust God to put that in your life for you. But to go out there and handpick someone, oh, sisters and brothers, that is nothing but devastation. Trust in the Lord and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. No doubt about it, regardless of how long it takes. I didn't meet my husband I have now until I was 50 years old. It didn't matter. Each day is blissful for 15 years it has been. Minus 3 months. After 7 years, we took a little 3-month vacation from each other. That we was beginning to take each other for granted a little bit. He went up in the mountains to work, and I stayed back here. And those 3 months' time gave us a chance to truly search ourselves, our union, and to appreciate it even more. We had been married 7 years, took a 3-month vacation from each other, and that has been almost 8 years ago. Each day is blissful. Each day we get each other by the hand and get on our knees twice a day, morning and night, and pray. We worship together. We cry together by just hearts filled with gratitude. No tears of sorrow, tears of joy. Of our eyes filled with tears just for being thankful. Our hearts filled with gratitude to the Lord. That is what happens when you ask God to put something in your life and then have the patience to sit back and wait for it. And a passage came to me just before I met him. I don't know why it came on me and stayed. It wouldn't leave me alone. Jesus said, judge not according to appearances. That passage came on me and it wouldn't let loose, and I couldn't understand why. But later on, I realized why it was on me is because when I met him, if I had judged him according to appearances, I would have passed him up. By just looking at him in appearance, but I looked further than that. My ears was open to his heart, not his appearance. So these are words this morning that I want to express to you. For us to seek the goodness of the Lord, and he is good at all times and all situations. He is good. And so many people cannot believe that he truly wants the best for us. At one point in my life, it was hard for me to believe that myself. I was so full of self-pity and filled with so much hurt, rejection, that there was no way. I used to ask and cry out, why me? Oh, I was filled with so much pain that when you're in that state of being, it's hard to realize that God is all of that. He's all of that in a bag of chips. It's hard. heart to realize that he's all good and that he has our best interest at heart, that his interest is for our highest good. It's hard to believe that sometimes when you are troubled, when you are discouraged, when you are rejected. It's hard sometimes to truly get a handle on that. But as you grow spiritually, you will come to realize that God is so good, and he loves us beyond our comprehension. We can never even comprehend just how much he loves us. And when we can give our loved ones to him without reservations, release them unto God, knowing that we can rest in confidence and peace, that he will take care of it. He will answer our prayers when we come to him earnestly from the heart, that he will hear us, he will answer us, and he will move for us, sisters and brothers. I'm a witness. If he did it for me, I know he would do it for you. I was so alone in this world. I'm an only child, no sisters or brothers, rejected by my mother. I wasn't raised with my father. After my grandmother died, I said as they lowered her in the ground, and my aunt reminded me of that very statement I made years later when I was a grown woman. So we remember you standing at that grave site saying, "That goes the only person that has ever loved me." And that's exactly how I felt for a long time. So those of you out there that have a heavy heart this morning, of problems that you're facing, realize that there are no problems out there that you can have that's too big for them. You can't be so downhearted that you can't be lifted up. There's no trouble, no problems, no illness, nothing that you can endure that he can't turn it around. And I'm telling you, he can change it in the twinkling of an eye. All you have to do is believe, trust. Give him that right away, and please get self out the way and let him have his way. Before I leave this morning, this little passage here I would like to read to you. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing thereof that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow human being, let me do it now. Let me not deter, nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Let's make our life worth living, dear hearts. Let's make it worthwhile by speaking good, knowing that God is good first. Speaking good to ourselves. Don't be hard on yourself. God made you and created you in the very image and his likeness. Don't be hard on yourself. Begin to speak good unto your own soul and speak good to others. Begin to see a light instead of darkness. Begin to see light instead of blinking doom. And begin to see victory where you have been envisioned defeat. Begin to see health and healing where you have only seen sickness and pain. begin to experience and expect love in your life when you have experienced loneliness. God is a very present help in times of trouble. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And these are not just mere words. I know they are words taken from the Bible, but I'm here to tell you this morning, dear hearts, I'm not just speaking mere words from the Bible. I mean them from my heart. Trust in Him. Wait on Him. Be patient. Give Him the right of way. And you will see a change. I trust that you've enjoyed this broadcast today. You listening, I have enjoyed you being there with an open ear this morning to me. And I pray that you have taken things in prayerfully. Open your heart and let the good come in that's already there, waiting to be expressed. You have a great week, and I'm looking to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. Please contact me at One Accord, P.O. Box 360-165, Decatur, Georgia. Zip code is 30036. You can even call me at area code 678-515-7539. Again, On One Accord with Carmen at P.O. Box 360-165, Decatur, Georgia 30036. The phone number is 678-515-7539. You have a blessed week, and I'll be back on the 22nd. Take care. I love you. God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Come on, put your hands on it here. You can have peace.
You can have peace.
In the middle.
In the middle of the storm, you know. Joy's coming in the morning time.
The Bible declares, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? He goes on to say, I'll even make a way in the wilderness.